Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Spring is a time of renewal, so why not refresh your home with a little help from Blinds.com? We make getting custom window treatments a minor project with major impact. Choose from premium blinds, shades, and shutters. We even have options for your patio, too. Blinds.com invented a better way to shop for custom window treatments. There's no pushy salespeople in your home or inflated showroom prices. Our design experts can help you find the perfect window treatments on your schedule. We'll even send free samples directly to you. Plus, we can handle the measuring and installation for you. Unlimited window treatments installed for just one low cost. And with Blinds.com, you'll always get transparent pricing. No hidden fees. Our free shipping and 100% satisfaction guarantee can put the spring back into your step. And into your home, too. Shop Blinds.com right now and save up to 45%. Up to 45% off for a limited time at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Friday.
It's Friday.
Thank God it's Friday.
Time for another edition of the Reardon Roundtable.
Friday.
Now, Mark Reardon on St. Louis's News Radio, KMOX.
All right. Well, I thought there was going to be music there, but apparently there isn't. And I just hope that the guests are there this afternoon. Let's see. We had a bit of a snafu right before, moments before the show. So let me see if we can bring in the panel. Jane, are you there? I don't even see Jane on the Zoom call this afternoon. Hello, panel. Are you there? Alex, you're going to have to walk me through this. So I'm sitting at home right now. I got a producer in the studio, and someone's going to have to communicate with me because I have no idea what the status of this show is right now. Alex, can you hear me? Talk to me right now. On the air, so we can get this settled right now.
Ryan's in here with me. We're figuring it out right now. I know what to do.
Okay, all right. Hang on then. Talk to me and kind of keep me posted. This is a communications business, ladies and gentlemen, and I'm a little bit, hamstrung here because I'm sitting at home. I'll introduce the panel momentarily here. Jane is, I think, standing by.
All the guests need to unmute
themselves. Former St. Louis County Police Chief, Tim Fitch, and also Alderman Jack Coder. So if the guests would unmute themselves at this point, I think we can get going. I'm not exactly sure why it took this to get it moving, but we're going to go. Can you guys, now they're still muted for some reason, Alex, and I don't know why. I just saw Mr. Coder take himself off of mute, and then it got put back on mute. So I don't know what's going on. There you are, Jack. Can you talk to me right now?
Test.
Okay,
test.
There we go. There we go.
Myself.
Jane.
Hooker.
Jane, can you hear me? There he is. Chief Fitch, how are you?
I'm doing great, Mark.
Well, never fails on a holiday. My blood pressure goes through the roof, and it's a great way to start the show. So good afternoon. Let's kind of get started here on a Friday after Thanksgiving. Jane, let me first wish you a belated happy birthday. Your birthday was yesterday, right?
It was, and we are the same age now.
Double nickels. Well, did you have a nice birthday and a nice Thanksgiving?
Well, I mean, I just ate way too much food, but yeah, that's all good. I have to agree with eating too much food. It's my favorite meal of the year, so that was really nice.
All right, by the way, you're a little off mic there. We continue to have
can
a little challenge here, so get as close. Yeah, I think I can. Jack,
good.
Tim Fitch, Jack, I think you're muted again there for some reason. You guys have nice Thanksgivings before
barking.
We get rolling? Oh, okay, I understand it. All right, let's try to get focused. I love starting the show about as disheveled and as confused as I possibly can be. Chief, I'm going to start with you right now. We have, skyrocketing COVID numbers. The hospitals are filling up. There are restrictions or new restrictions that kicked in a short time ago. Where are we in St. Louis County right now with COVID-19?
Well, we keep hearing about the hospitals being full, and I don't doubt that they are. But a big part of this problem is because of the serious reduction in force that these hospitals had several months ago. If you just look at the Mercy Health System, they eliminated 2,300 physicians months ago. So when they say they're full, I don't doubt that they're full, but it's because of staffing. That's a major issue. And yes, they're up. I believe the numbers are up. There's no doubt about that. I don't question that. COVID-19 is real. We should wear masks. I believe in all those type of things. But in St. Louis County, there are so many restrictions right now. And as we now know, as lawsuits are proceeding and things like that, that St. Louis County has not been implementing their public health orders legally. So we keep hearing all these threats, you know, restaurants getting notices about threats and things like that, and threatening with jail time. And it's just not accurate. They can't do that. They don't have the authority to do that. Only the council can pass those kind of rules.
Let me ask you, Jack, just from a city perspective, because I don't know where this is all taking us. I had a very scaled down Thanksgiving. I had a brush with COVID that ended up not being anything serious with the group that I went hunting with a couple of weeks ago. But I don't think there's any doubt that the numbers are increasing, and they're increasing across the region and the country. But look, even the states, California, good example, some of the states that have had the most strict stay at home or the mask ordinances or anything like that, nothing seems to be working. I don't know if anyone's noticing this, but the states that have had mandatory mask ordinances for 6-7 months, they're seeing skyrocketing numbers as well. So I don't know how we get this thing under control moving forward, but I think we're all kind of bracing for a hospital situation based on what Dr. Garza and others are telling us. And I have some numbers from the task force this afternoon that maybe are a little bit better than yesterday, but still concerning. Those hospital beds are almost gone, at least the ICU beds. So where does this leave us in a few weeks?
Yeah, I'm looking at, I guess, yesterday's task force report. They send them to us every day. Yesterday, the ICUs in the region were at 86% capacity. I mean, you know, the community spread is certainly happening. One thing we do know, and that the scientists keep harping on, is masks work. Masks work both ways. They help you. They help protect you. And they help protect the folks around you. So, yes, you're seeing increases across the board. But I mean, some of the most troubling increases in the number of cases right now are happening in rural areas where people just simply don't believe in these in wearing a mask, which it's just baffling to me. And you're seeing the result of that. The hospitals in this region are filling up. They don't have the ability to take care of these folks in the hospitals in rural Missouri. So they're shipping people to our major centers, which I understand everyone needs care. But what that does is it puts a strain on the system. And, you know, this time of year, people are going to be going to the hospital with other issues, too. I mean, it's the holidays. It's stressful. People are going in with heart issues and everything else. And there's not beds to take care of these folks because of all the COVID patients. I don't understand what the aversion and how masks have become, you know, a political discussion when we know they work and it just makes sense. Yes,
My point on that is, and we can. I kind of went off on this Watch You doc that did the video about your last moments, because this thing, Jack, is so far beyond masks, and that's why I'm tired of being told to wear a mask and wash my hands. Because the people who are getting this, I promise you, because I know some of them, and I bet you know some of them, and we all have friends. They wear their masks. They wear their masks when they're supposed to. I know someone who wore their mask, didn't take it off when they were in a room with an infected person, still got COVID. So did the other person in the room. So this is beyond masks, and masks are not impenetrable. People are wearing their masks when they go to the store and they do the things, and then they're getting in groups and they're spreading this. So we got to get beyond the wash your hands, wear a mask, because that ain't working. And it's not working in California. It's not working in Maine. It's not working here. So I'm kind of frustrated by that. There needs to be more. And I don't think we can mandate. Government can't mandate everything to keep people safe. I understand that's why masks are the easy thing to say, wear a mask. Why aren't you wearing a mask? Jane, go ahead. You got to have something on this.
Well, I mean, I feel like that the community spread needs to be more hammered, because I think that's where this is all occurring. And it seems like everybody who actually has data has said it's community spread. I mean, you know, we had record number of people at Lambert since the pandemic started. I mean, people are to a certain extent not listening anymore. And
that's right.
What concerns me, though, is, for example, in St. Louis County, shutting down the restaurants when there's nothing out there that indicates that restaurants are the thing that's doing it. The city has maintained its contact tracing. They've determined that it's private gatherings that is causing the spike in our area. We can't do anything about our hospitals flooding from other places. I mean, doing a restaurant order in St. Louis County is not going to prevent other jurisdictions from sending their people here. So I would prefer that our restaurants,
I agree,
not be punished because other counties couldn't take care of what was happening. So I still think we need to follow data. I still think that, I mean, these restaurants, I mean, it's desperate times for them. And we're still waiting for somebody to put up a shred of proof. At a hearing, the one of the co-directors of acting directors of health indicated, somebody asked her, what's the evidence that restaurants is what's causing this? And she said, the sole basis we used to determine that was you take your mask off indoors. So that's why we're limiting restaurants. And I thought, that's not
well,
data.
Look, if you want to use data, then you know what you could.
Then
I'm just
data.
Using this as an example. Then close down and say nobody can have Thanksgiving. That is our order. Thanksgiving is off.
Right.
Because that was far greater risk than people going into restaurants, walking in with their masks on. But, Chief, you know what's interesting? Tim Fitch, County Councilman, Alderman Jack Coder, Jane Duker, all on the panel. I read a story a couple of days ago on Wednesday, and it was in the L.A. Times, I think. Or, I'm sorry, the New York Times over the weekend. You know, we hear this about the small gatherings, but they went into some data from many states, Colorado and others, and the number of cases that were spread according to the contact tracing in those states with small gatherings was minuscule. You know who was spreading it? Prisons, jails, nursing homes, of all places.
Yeah.
You would think
government
conventional
buildings.
Wisdom, you think nursing homes are going to be buttoned up, but they're not. So I think this also goes to the confusion out there with people don't know what to believe, and they don't trust what they hear.
Well, and I think you see Sam Page experimenting on St. Louis County residents and businesses. Remember when he shut the parks down?
Yeah.
Why didn't he shut the parks down this time? That was an experiment. Oh, guess what? It didn't work. There was no connection to the parks. He's experimenting with these restaurants right now, and they are basically unlawful orders to shut these restaurants down. And that's going to get asked and answered real soon here. And that's what he's doing. He's doing a medical experiment. And I know that's what doctors do. I get that. But why experiment with people's lives and their livelihoods? And that's what's going on in St. Louis County.
You
yeah,
know that he didn't shut down.
I mean,
he didn't shut down the restaurants at the airport. How
right.
can you say that restaurants are the problem, but he didn't shut down the restaurants in the airport?
Well, and what I guess what I don't understand, and you know, in the city we haven't shut down restaurants, and I've talked at length with the mayor, and I don't think she has any intention of doing so. I think they're going to just try to keep, you know, the focus on the bad actors and the folks that won't comply, and sort of strategically and be targeted in the shutdowns. But what I don't get is just sort of. You know, with this patchwork of orders in the county, indoor dining's closed, but gyms are open and nail salons. I mean, like, I don't understand how one area where you sit down and maybe take your mask off, you can't do that, but you can do. I mean, it doesn't make a lot of sense to me. If you're going to do a shutdown, you know, I'm not advocating that we do this, but we'll see what happens after the holidays here. I suspect we'll see a lot more spread. But I mean, look at what Europe just went through. They just went through another round of intense lockdowns. If you're going to shut stuff down, I think it's got to be all or nothing. I don't understand where it's just a sort of patchwork. We'll shut these businesses down, but not these others. It's either shut them down or let people be responsible and wear their masks and you know, keep some social distancing in place in these businesses.
It even gets more confusing in other states. So I highlighted this also this week, where in Minnesota, there was an executive order that said you can't even go outside and mix and mingle with your neighbors outside. However, it allowed some venues to have up to churches and a wedding venue up to 250 people. So the whole thing didn't make sense. I think you have a lot of these governors, a lot of these Sam Pages out there, a lot of people, they feel like they have to do something. So it looks like they're responding to this crisis, and they keep kind of throwing darts at the wall when they're not working. Now, I know that the health experts are telling them, and there's metrics and there's all these things. But look, this thing is not really working, because to your point, Jane, I think a lot of people have sort of moved on and they're exhausted by the message. And even in cases where people, I'll use myself as an example, they know that it's risky, but they've decided that they want to live their lives. Now, whether that's smart or not is another question. We'll take a break. We'll come back. It's a Reardon Roundtable for a Friday. A lot more to get to this afternoon on KMOX. Back with more in a moment.
The Reardon Roundtable on KMOX.
All right, welcome back. 220. It's the Reardon Roundtable for a Friday. Alderman Jack Coder is with us. Former St. Louis County Police Chief Tim Fitch, who is on the St. Louis County Council. And Jane Duker is back. Jane's going to hang in the next hour. We'll have a little fun and talk about some entertainment and music. And then into the 4 o'clock hour, Total Information PM. Let's get into a little presidential politics and, you know, Georgia and all that stuff. And Jane, I'll start with you here, because it seems like even maybe I saw one of the score sheets this morning for President Trump's legal team. They're 1-for-33, I think. Whoop, something's going back and echoing in my ear now. So they're 1-for-33 on these legal challenges. And that's not really going too well. But it even seemed, as the president earlier this week opened up some of the channels for the transition and the money and opening that up, that even though he's going to keep fighting, he wants to keep the base rolled up. But I think even President Trump sees the writing on the wall right now.
I think he's starting to. I think he has fits of, you know, I saw him have a complete meltdown with reporters. I mean, I think it gets to him once in a while. But, you know, enough's enough. I mean, finish out your legal challenges. Do what you got to do. You're allowed to do that. And as long as, you know, the judges are handling it and they boot them when they need to, you know, I think this too shall pass. So I look forward to the new administration hitting the ground running because we need it. We need it. The economy needs help. We've got to get COVID under control. We got to get that vaccine out. I mean, that's like got to be the number one priority, is getting that vaccine out as quickly and as efficiently as possible to the people who need it the most first. So I'm looking forward to it. I think he's probably coming around, but I suspect we're going to see, you know, one step up, two steps back with him. I think we should just come to expect the erratic behavior and, you know, and I think to the extent we ignore it, the better off we are.
Yeah, so it's 1-for-38, Chief Fitch, in election lawsuits, and two of the three panel members in Pennsylvania were appointed by George W. Bush, but the third, Stefanos Bibas, was added to the court by Trump himself, and he wrote the majority opinion. So even with his own appointee, he didn't do very well in Pennsylvania.
Right, and I agree with Jane. I think at some point he's going to say, okay, it's over, let's move on. I think you're going to see him try to repair a little bit of his reputation before he goes. I think once the electorates meet and they vote and he knows it didn't go his way, I think you'll hear him start to have a little bit more of a tone of wanting to get along with the Biden administration, because like all former presidents, they want to be invited back and be part of the party at some point, part of the group. And he'll want to be.
You think he does?
Yeah, I think
really?
He will.
You think this guy, I don't know, man, this guy might not want to do that.
I think he's worried about going to jail.
Yeah. Once he's out of there and he's on the
whatever.
Trump, I think he's going to change his tune. I really believe it.
I hope so.
Yeah. And to Jane's point, I don't know that this guy's ever going to, you know, fully be cooperative with the incoming administration, but he can say whatever he wants on Twitter. As long as his mid-level people who are actually running these agencies are working and on this transition and being cooperative, I think that's what's most important. And I think it's a good sign that starting next week, the Biden folks are going to be getting, you know, presidential daily briefings. My hope is they can get access to whatever this vaccine rollout plan is and start weighing in on that, because like Jane said, that's what's going to be key. I mean, that's what's on everyone's mind. Looking at what a debacle testing has been in this country, I hope we can get this vaccine rolled out more smoothly than we can get people tested.
Mm-hmm. I would like, and that's one of the things I think I would have liked to have heard from the administration in the aftermath of the election, and President Trump decided to, you know, just play all the legal games. But I think moving forward, that is important. But I think I want to kind of go back to, and Chief, I'll start with you on this, because in the aftermath of 2020, whatever that becomes after the pandemic with politics, is there were still, you know, 73 million people that voted for 78 million people that voted for President Trump. It was an interesting little side note I saw this morning. I think that you guys know who Alyssa Milano is, the actress who is a big baseball fan, by the way. She's got her own line of baseball clothing, but she reached out to Trump supporters. She's very lefty and she ripped on Trump for years. And she said, look, I'd like to extend an olive branch to Trump supporters. I'm ready to move forward together. Well, she got a lot of backlash, but it wasn't from the Trump supporters. It was from the people on her side that basically said, I have no olives or branches for racists and bigots. There can be no unity with those who want to see people that are different, marginalized, and oppressed. Now, that's painting with a pretty broad brush, but Democrats, many people on the coast in particular, I think Jane gets it, I think Jack gets it, but Tim, a lot of these people on the coast, they think, maybe they're just going to stick with this, that everyone who voted for Donald Trump is a racist and a bigot, and that's the only thing there is to look at there.
It's Mark, it's just like if you dare question any of these public health orders, you're suddenly an anti-masker. Don't dare ask questions about these things, you're an anti-masker. It's the same concept. It's the exact same concept. I voted for Donald Trump. I like Donald Trump's policies. I didn't like some of his tweets and some of the things that he would say. And I think most Republicans would tell you they weren't completely comfortable with that. And that probably is what cost him the election. He probably would have won if it weren't for doing things. Look at Arizona. I think that was a John McCain fallout is what that was, how he went after John McCain. There's no doubt and no surprise in my mind why he lost Arizona. So the, whoever the next Republican candidate will be for president in 4 years, hopefully have learned some lessons from that and we'll be able to repair some of those relationships.
Well, isn't Donald Trump saying he's going to be the nominee in 4 years?
I don't believe that either. I think someone else will pop up between now and then and will have a lot of the same ideas that Donald Trump had without the edge to it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but what about the interpretation by your side, Jack and Jane? Because I still think that that's something to keep an eye on as well. And obviously, I want to kind of segue into Georgia and what you think is going to happen in Georgia, because that is going to be an all-out fight, which is why I encourage the White House and the campaign to kind of move on quickly to focus on Georgia, because that's what it's all about right now.
We've traditionally been the big tent party, I firmly believe that's when we do our best, is when we let people of all worldviews in the Democratic Party. And look, if Alyssa Milano extending an olive branch, I don't think she should be beat up for that. I think if somebody who voted for Donald Trump is now or maybe a few years ago and had some reservations this time and is now, looking for a new party or more moderate candidates, I would hope the Democratic Party is a place for them. But unfortunately, it seems that our party's tacking farther and farther to the left and putting these ideological purity tests on candidates. And I think that scares people. I think people are we saw a lot of folks make the decision to vote for more of Trump and his crazy antics versus voting for Democrats because they think we're even crazier.
That's, I think, the risk here is, and I'm always the one declaring war on the radical left in my party, and I'm evil for doing it, but I won't stop because I think our party will not survive if we don't let moderates play a part. Even if we get moderate Republicans, we should be able to get those people if we get a strong economic message and a strong message that resonates. But I don't get the politics of exclusion. I just don't get it. Democracy is based on the fact that you are able to get coalitions of people together. You may not agree with them on the environment, but you can agree with them on, arms. You can on guns. You can maybe not agree with them on choice, but you can agree on, infrastructure. Why would we stop doing that? And it happens on both sides, where if you try to reach across the aisle and get something done, you get shouted down, and both people do, which is, I'm hoping the American people get tired of that, because if they don't get tired of that, it's going to be the radical 15% of each side really causing all the trouble.
I think, Jane,
go ahead, Tim. I'm sorry.
I'd like to say, Jane, you're right. If you looked at just the results in St. Louis County, look how bad Donald Trump lost in St. Louis County. However, the Republican candidates in St. Louis County did quite well. The other down ballot.
Every one of them won except one.
That's exactly what you're talking about. That's moderate Republican and moderate Democrats. They're making a decision that made, we saw St. Louis County turn out the way it did. And with that said, I've made a donation to both of the Republican candidates in Georgia because I think it's important that we have a balance in our Congress and the White House. And I think it's important that we keep the Republicans keep the Senate. The Democrats will have the House. And then, of course, the Democrats will have the White House. But all Democrat or all Republican is never, I think, a positive thing for the country.
Hang on, panel. We're coming back. We got much more to go. Two more segments of the Reardon Roundtable. Alderman Jack Cotter, that was former St. Louis County Police Chief and current County Councilman Tim Fitch. Jane also hanging this afternoon. Much more to go this afternoon on the Roundtable.
The Reardon Roundtable on KMOX.
Welcome back, 2:35 Friday afternoon, post-Thanksgiving. I had a 20-pound bird panel yesterday because I thought I was going to have a lot more people. So I'm going to have turkey through Christmas, I think. What's that stuff that's in it? The tryptophan that makes you tired, gets you all sleepy? That happened to my dogs and cats last night. We gave them a little turkey and they passed out. Former St. Louis County Police Chief and current Councilman Tim Fitch is with us on the panel this afternoon. Jane Duker and also Alderman Jack Cotter. Jack, why aren't you getting in the St. Louis mayor's race?
Well, I'm running in for re-election as 7th Ward Alderman, Mark. I've had a number of people ask me this, but frankly, I just don't think the time is right in my life, and I don't see the city voters choosing a moderate white guy as mayor coming up. I don't see that as a possibility in the upcoming election.
Well, that might be the reality of it. So let's just kind of talk about the landscape and what you think here, because obviously this would be a pretty important election, especially considering that the incumbent mayor is not going to seek re-election. Let me start with that question, Jack. Did that surprise you?
No, not particularly. I mean, Lyda's a friend of mine. I've watched the struggles she's had in the job. Some of it, she's been rightfully criticized. I think a lot of it is sometimes they just pile on her unnecessarily. But I don't blame her for not wanting to run for re-election in this environment. I mean, whatever decision she makes, she's roundly criticized. She's had to move out of her house, for God's sakes. She's had what I think is a wonderful career as a public official in the city of St. Louis. And I think she probably saw the writing on the wall that her chances of getting reelected were very, very slim. And why not, go out on your own terms?
So how do you handicap the field that I had Lewis Reed on this week? Donna Behringer is thinking about it. Kara Spencer is in there. Tashara Jones might be the favorite, which scares quite a few people, including myself. I'm guessing that you got other people that might jump in this, but how is this all going to shake out?
Yeah. So, I mean, if the field is set as it currently is, I think you're going to probably be looking at, we have this new voting system that the voters just approved in November. So we've got this approval choice voting where you can vote for as many candidates as you want. And the top two will go to a runoff in April. It has some good qualities and some bad, but it certainly is going to change the dynamics of this race. With the field as it's currently set, I think we're probably looking at a Tashara and Lewis runoff. But again, filings open for another, really until January, until I think the second week in January. So a lot could change there. I mean, who knows who else is going to get in this race that could upend things. So, I'm getting a lot of calls from some of my colleagues and others who are either running, thinking about running, or looking for support. And I'm telling everybody, look, I want to wait and see what the field looks like before I commit to anybody.
So right now, Tim Fitch, we have 238, let me see if I get the 238 murders in the city. I'm sorry, 238. Yeah, 230. I wanted to make sure I didn't flip these. 238 murders in the city of St. Louis.
I thought we were higher, actually. I thought it was
No, we are. 241.
I think that's
yes.
The COVID
see,
deaths.
No, you are. You're right. See, I'm trying to illustrate a point. And I wanted to make sure I didn't screw it up, and I kind of did. But 241 murders, 238 COVID deaths. And look, I understand people think I'm trying to compare the two. I'm trying to illustrate a point about the level of danger with violent crime in the city of St. Louis. So obviously I've made mocking and snarky comments about Lyda Crewson's restrictions, saying, well, maybe we should have, a curfew just to stop the violent crime. Do you think there is an understanding amongst this field of running for mayor, because I'm not so sure it is, how serious the crime issue in this city is and how it affects the region?
I think.
Well, Tim.
I think there is with Lewis Reed. I think he gets it. The one that doesn't get it is Tashara Jones, because she keeps talking about more social programs. Let's keep people out of court. Let's keep people out of jail. Well, you know what? When people are out committing murders, there's nothing you can do with them other than put them in jail to stop downstream murders. So to say, well, you know what, maybe we'll get them, some sort of social program that'll keep them from committing a murder. Most of the individuals that commit murders, at least in my experience, this is something that they've done time and time again. It's usually not a one-time deal. They keep doing it until they get caught or they get killed themselves. So Tashara's plan will not work. You have to be tough on violent crime. I have no problem with trying alternative ideas and with nonviolent crime. But when it's violent crime and people are using guns to hurt people, they have to go to jail. Simple as that. And I think Lewis gets that. I don't think Tashara does.
I mean, I think
representing
city police officers. I mean, Tashara Jones is anti-police. I mean, it's that simple. And it would be devastating for the city of St. Louis. I think there are plenty of investments that hopefully could be made in order to address poverty, housing, all those things that we all know go into crime. Those are long-term solutions, and we absolutely have to do that. But in the short term, you have a short term, medium term, and you have long term. Short term, you have got to get the violent people off the street. That simple. 10% of the people are committing 90% of the crimes. They know who they are. Operation Legend, has come in. That's been helpful. But the short-term solution is you have to get violent people off the street. And I think that's resounding across, the city of St. Louis.
These mayoral candidates are going to have to, I think they'll quickly realize when they start going to forums and, speaking to neighborhoods, And I think Tim's right that Lewis does get this. I think some other candidates might get it as well. I'm not sure about Tushar. But you go to any stretch of the city, north or south, and what do people want? They want more cops on the street. They want more enforcement in their neighborhoods, not less. They're not interested in defunding the police department. I mean, you could go to North City or South City, and they'll tell you they're mad about the violent crime. They're mad about the quality of life crimes, speeding and car break-ins and everything else. And you know, I would hope that is front and center in this mayor's race. I think, you know, the sort of big discussion of crime has sort of taken a back seat with coronavirus and everything, but it's obviously still out there, and it needs to be front and center in this mayor's race.
Well, but getting it, and I hope that getting it is certainly something that's not just limited to Lewis Reed and a couple other candidates, but doing something that is productive, because I'm kind of tired of it. That's all we talk about is crime, war crime, violent crime, doing something about it. We're not fixing it. It's not getting better. It's getting worse.
It's getting worse. Yeah. And I mean, St. Louis is not necessarily alone in that stretch. I mean, there's, you know, many other cities, Midwestern cities in particular, are struggling with the same issues we're struggling with right now. But I mean, one of the things we have to figure out how to do is how to get the police department back to full strength. And, you know, that's something we've been talking about for years and years. We finally lifted the residency requirement at the state level, you know, to hopefully allow the city to hire police officers and first responders from all over the region. But at some point, that's only one part of it. We've got to look at this antiquated personnel system in the city there. It takes forever to hire somebody, to clear the background checks and get somebody hired. If you've got qualified candidates that want to join our police department, or really any level of city government, you got to make it easy for them to get the job and do so. And I'm not saying
how do you fix that?
If you got to streamline the process, and that's something
who would fix that, Jack? But is that something that the board can do, or how actually would you get that done?
You're going to need a mayor to be supportive, because going, you know, monkeying with the civil service system is not something, you know, it'll probably take charter amendments. It's going to require the support of a mayor's office. I don't think it's something the board can do on its own.
But beyond the crime issue, Chief. No, hang on. Jim, beyond the crime issue, and that the crime issue is number one, we entered this area a few years ago with Mayor Cruz and Steve Stenger at the time, thinking we would have this regional cooperation in the, you know, the county-city merger or whatever shape that was going to take place. That ended up being a bit of a mess, and now we're no closer to any of that regionalism or better regionalism, whatever that might be, than we were 4 years ago, are we?
No, not at all. As a matter of fact, we're right back where we started. And I'm not suggesting that Better Together was a good idea, but there are still things that we could do, some low-hanging fruit between the city and the county, even with the police departments, that we can do that would be acceptable to both of the populations of the city and the county. And we're at the point right now where we're not even talking about low-hanging fruit. If we need to be.
Right. And I think the problem is, too, I mean, with regard to, you know, cooperation with the police departments. One, I think they generally do that on their own, and they do it pretty well, and they probably are doing it better now than they ever have. But I also don't like this idea of private corporations going into, you know, I don't know, back rooms and talking about policing. This all has to be transparent. It all has to be upfront, and people have to believe in it. One of the things that people, and I supported Better Together, but one of the things that people criticized was, oh, this was all in a back room and blah, blah, blah. Well, I mean, we don't want to do it again then. You know, so policing, I think, is a natural way for them to cooperate. And I think that they do that genuinely on their own. So I think it could be better, but you're right. I think we're worse off than when we started the Better Together discussion.
I agree.
So, you know, we toss all these names out here and everyone plays their games and they try to line up their supporters. But what's really lacking, and I think we see this at every level of government, this is nothing new, and we've talked about it before, is actual leadership, like good leadership. People who have the courage to say, no, we're not going to do that. People have the courage to say, I'm not going to worry about protesters and people who want to defund the police because we're not doing that, all right? We're not gonna entertain that nonsense.
End
but this is one of my criticisms of Lyda Crewson. She lacked any intestinal fortitude, and I guess I should have known that, going in to take a stand on anything. And I think that's embarrassing, and it's shameful, and it set the city back.
And the other thing you have is you have somebody like Sam Page, who's taken hundreds of thousands of dollars from Centene. Well, is he beholden to anything they want to do at this point? Can he go outside of the box on what Centene wants to do, because they are such a large contributor to him? Those things stifle innovation. by taking large sums of money. We saw that with Steve Stenger in the Northwest Crossing situation, where he took $300,000 plus from those. Guess what? They're going to get what they want, return on their investment. Guess what? Centene wants a return on their investment with Sam Page. So I think until we figure out campaign financing as well with these candidates, because a lot of that absolutely stifles any kind of innovation.
Hang on, panel. We're coming back. We have one more segment. It's the Reardon Roundtable for a Friday afternoon. Tim Fitch, Jack Coder from the Board of Aldermen in St. Louis, and Jane Duker. More in a moment on KMOX.
The Reardon Roundtable on KMOX.
Welcome back. Hey, panel, Jack Coder, Tim Fitch, Jane Duker. I did not have this on your homework list for topics, but I saw this posted on our local paper's website, STL Today, earlier. I thought this was kind of interesting. They, I don't know if you've seen this, they ran down some of the highest paid St. Louis area government officials, and they had to go through some sunshine requests because they were being thwarted by, you know, some of the folks. So Rhonda Hamdebrygge's salary at the airport, $240,000. That's often, they say, cited as the highest among city employees. But Rodney Krim, who's the head of the St. Louis Centric, St. Louis Economic Development Partnership, gets $260,000. He made $79,000 more than the county's highest paid employee, acting St. Louis County Health Department Director, co-director, Dr. Emily Doucette. Any reaction? That's a pretty big number there. Now, I'm not one that reacts usually to these salaries and just knee-jerk said, well, that's, you know, he doesn't earn that money. I don't know. You tell me, Jack, is there a return on investment? If there's a return on investment on a $260,000 salary, I'm okay with that, but is there?
So, I mean, look, hiring economic development directors anywhere in the country is expensive. You've got to compete nationally to get people and to keep people. And this is a search we're going to be having in the spring for Otis Williams' job after he retires. So I think, you know, these are highly paid people. They're professional folks. And I think that all in all, they do their jobs. I have some criticisms, but they show up for work and do their best. What's frustrating to me is, why is any of this a secret? Why are these quasi-governmental agencies like St. Louis Development Corp or the Economic Development Partnership that rely on tax dollars, they shouldn't be hiding the ball. If someone says, I want to know what these folks are paid, or I want to see your budget or anything like that, that should be open to the public. There's absolutely no reason for any of this to be a secret or to stonewall reporters when they're asking basic questions about how much public officials are being paid.
Okay, and that's fine. But what has Rodney Krim and his department done to spur economic development in the city of St. Louis? Can we point to anything? Is that a curiosity?
I wish SLEDP was involved with, was very involved in our effort to attract the NGA. I mean, they worked closely with the city's development arm. But yeah, I think there is some question as to why do we have multiple development agencies, one for the city, one for the region. That's a very valid question. Some of this is duplicative.
Now, keep in mind,
well, that's what we were kind of talking about before the break, right, Chief? Go ahead.
Keep in mind, Mark, that Rodney Krim, who I think does an excellent job, is doing the job for half the cost that Sheila Sweeney was doing it for. Remember, she was making $500,000 a year.
That's right.
Working for Steve Stenger. Of course, there's a whole backstory to that as well. But nonetheless, I think Rodney Krim is doing an excellent job. I do like the work that he's doing. We get reports regularly from him and his staff. Even in this COVID pandemic environment, him and his group have been able to attract quite a few new jobs to St. Louis County.
Well, that's good to hear. That's excellent to hear. That's why, you know, I don't want to just jump and say, oh, is he making all that money for, if there is a job that's being done and that's what it takes to compete in that area for economic development, then it's, appropriate. But to Jack's point, it just looks bad if you're trying to hide it. Why do that? Because then it looks like you're trying to cover something up.
Yeah, that was the Citigroup, wasn't it, trying to hide it, Jack?
Yeah.
I think that's correct. I don't understand. I mean, why city departments keep taking, I mean, we've seen it in other countywide offices too, where the Post-Dispatch has asked for records relating to payroll and stuff, and they fight tooth and nail to hand before turning them over. It's baffling to me.
If you go to the state's accountability portal, you can find out the salary and the position of every single state employee. It should be that simple. It should be updated constantly. There shouldn't even be a question. Don't even get me started about the airport salary. That I don't get. I like Rodney Krim. I think Rodney's doing a great job. I've worked with him when he was at the city. I think he's worth every dime. I think it was a long time coming that he should have been the head of it a long time ago, and I think things would have been a lot better had he been there.
Well, is the salary a problem, or is the person that has the salary? Because look, it doesn't seem $250,000 for someone running a major metropolitan airport doesn't seem out of bounds to me. But again, is that person doing the best job they can for that money? It'd be hard for me to believe you could find someone else, you know, if you do a recruitment to run the airport for less than that, Jane. Maybe I'm wrong.
I find it hard to believe that we couldn't find somebody for less that could do better. Yes, I do think it does include the people who are doing the job, because, you know, if people are unhappy with the results, the salary doesn't look that great. And yes, maybe if we paid somebody better, we could get better, which I'd be all for spending that money. If we could get some dynamic airport director that would turn things around, that would be great. But I don't know what the plan is for the airport. There is no plan for the airport, and that's a shame. So I think that's another area that the next mayor could look at without doing knee jerk, without doing, and do it drink. Cause you know, all we see now is a lot of stopping of stuff, but we need somebody who can actually build something and actually, you know, put something positive forward for change.
Innovate.
You know what? This kind of all harkens back when you were talking about these salaries and everything. There used to be this thing. I don't even know if they print it anymore, but it was fun when you were in journalism school at the University of Missouri. It was called the Blue Book. Remember this, Jane? It was the state blue book.
That's exactly right.
Were in state government. So you'd have to print everyone who worked for state government and what they made. So I could look up my journalism, you know, professor's salaries and the people who worked at Channel 8, and you could be nosy. It was a lot of fun. I don't know how much that thing costs to publish every year, but I was so happy to get it. They would send it to my newsroom annually from the state of Missouri, and gosh darn it, I loved the only purpose it served was to look up professor salaries and kind of get jealous and find out how much they were making.
It still exists. I don't think they print it anymore though, do they, Jane?
Yes.
You have to pay for it.
No.
Okay.
Yeah. All right, hey.
Electronically. Like, you can go in and search any name and get their salary instantly. You don't even have to look at the Blue Book anymore, which is actually a static, you know, snapshot in time. Now they have the interactive tool. Do you know that in St. Louis County, you can't even get copies of bills online? I mean, it's amazing to me. Like, once it was hacked by the Chinese, the website has been a piece of crap ever since. So, I mean, the public should be able to see legislation right away. The city does a great job with that. I mean, there's things that both the city and the county could learn from each other, because the city's online bill system is much better.
All right, we're out of time. Jane, you're going to hang out for the next hour. We'll have a little fun. I got some lighter topics that we'll get into. We'll do number one songs and an audio cut of the day. Chief Fitch, it's always great to have you on. Great to see you, and I hope you have a great Thanksgiving. And Jack Cutter, I'm going to see you bright and early at Gateway tomorrow as we tee off.
Warm,
and it's
Mark.
Like 33 degrees or something stupid like that. How dumb am I? But I love the game of golf. I sent Jack a picture from earlier this week. There was a guy that I used to work with in Milwaukee, and it snowed in Wisconsin. And there were people at a tee box on Tuesday morning with snow on the ground, freezing. That's a little bit too much, but I'll get out there tomorrow. We got sunshine. Yeah, absolutely. We'll see you in the morning. Rainford's going to join us as well. Second hour coming up. Hang in there. Thank you, guys.
Bye, guys.
Oh, such a clutch pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, a Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
He shoots. He scores.
Go to Blinds.com for up to 45% off and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Go right now for up to 45% off at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.